you noted that in the beginning of his presentation, Peter Arslan mentioned the Srimad Bhagavatam and recommended that we read it regularly. I read Srimad Bhagavatam every day. I have a regimen reading 40 pages. I purchased from the Office Depot some little flags. I'm not familiar with these flags. Shake them and unshake them in hundreds of times, actually. I use them as bookmarks. They're excellent. But one of those flags, I put a number on. And for the Srimad Bhagavatam, the number is 40. I write it on with a pen. And then I stick it in the book as a bookmark. And when I pick up the book in the morning, I open to where the bookmark is, and I move it 40 pages ahead and stick it. And during that time, anything with an on-off switch gets turned off. And I simply sit and read the bottom of the book. And I'm here to confess to you or give a testimonial that by doing so, all my anxiety goes away and my consciousness is clarified for the day by that exercise. And I found it to be quite therapeutic because there are quite a bit of causes for stress in the world today. I'm sure it's just me. The Bhagavatam itself, in Bhagavatam, one of the great narrators, Sita Goswami, says that just by hearing Bhagavatam, you accumulate highest credits or spiritual merit. It's like sitting and listening. And Srila Prabhupada used to say that even if you don't understand what's being said exactly, if you simply listen carefully, then that message, that sound vibration, will act nonetheless, and soon you will come to understand it very clearly. It will be a magical transformation that's in the heart. This is what the Srimad Bhagavatam says also. Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna Kumya Shavaki Dhanatin Sokivatan Vidimotis Buddhism. Or Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma, the truest one in everyone's heart. And the benefactor of the truthful devotee cleanses desires and channel enjoyment from the heart of the devotee. The relatives of messages, which are in themselves virtuous, when properly heard and chanted. And one of the missions of our founder, Jari Srila, was to see to it that the Srimad Bhagavatam was placed in the home of every lady and gentleman in the world. In fact, to that end, he translated it into English painstakingly. He included artists. Some of them weren't artists to begin with, but somehow or other by the enthusiasm that Srila Prabhupada infused in them, he became expert artists. He had a vision that these books should be so attractive that people everywhere would want to read them. And he succeeded, and it's actually a miracle if you think about it, because it's very difficult to produce a book. In fact, it's very, very difficult to even produce a pamphlet. Anybody that ever shot it, just getting a pamphlet right is difficult. What to speak of the book? What to speak of the full range of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very tricky because it has, it's written in Sanskrit, and Srila Prabhupada was translating it into English, which is not his first language. And then he had a crew of editors like me, and artists and production teams put together the book. And within a very short amount of time, about 10 years, he was able to produce most of the Bhagavatam. And we're carrying on that, we're executing that desire of Srila Prabhupada to see to it that everyone has an opportunity to gain Srimad Bhagavatam. I mentioned this earlier, that we've been going around Silicon Valley introducing Srimad Bhagavatam to people at their homes, and getting wonderful reception from people who take a look at it and go through it and decide to put it in their home. And it's not just a book. There's something that happens when a person decides to take a lot of time into their house. In fact, there are quite a few volumes. Zoe is over there by the bookcase. And he'll point to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, on the showroom floor, could you please point out the Bhagavatam? There it is. You can see that it's got volumes to it, doesn't it? I mean, you do have to make a few choices of where you're going to put it in your house. And a few things might have to move out of the way, so that it seems big house is trying to fill up space. But the very fact that you make that decision, and what comes into your home, it's not an ordinary decision, as Sri Rajmar has pointed out. It's an incarnation of God. This book is being stated in the Shastra. Because the book itself is Krishna. It's God himself. It has all the same qualities and powers, everything. Same as God coming into your house. And we're finding that when people make this decision to take the Bhagavad Gita into their house, even if they don't understand it first, it begins to transform their lives. In their families' lives, in remarkable ways. We're getting stories from everywhere. In fact, I'm writing a book about it, it's so fascinating. And one of the stories I heard recently was from a devotee who, many years ago, about 40 years ago, was walking through the East Ridge Mall here in San Jose. And a devotee approached her and showed her the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first part. And she was a little bit spiritually minded, and she liked this person who presented it, and the way he did so, she purchased it. She gave $10, which she said at that time, no, $20. At that time, it was a lot of money, because her rent at that time, believe it or not, was $120 in the apartment. And she took the book home, and she said she couldn't understand it. It has Sanskrit writing in it, and it seems a little bit dense. But she put it in her house and she said she felt every time she walked in the room and looked at it that it radiated through the energy, almost calling to her. And after some months, she felt compelled to sit down and look at the book carefully. So it was raining out, she sat down by the fire in her apartment and she began to go through the Bhagavatam. She opened the chapter entitled The Lord in the Heart. The Lord in the Heart. And it made complete sense to her. And actually, I find it everywhere in the world that I go. When I present this concept, this is the Lord in the heart. People from all backgrounds and all countries and all cultures appreciate this. That there's a higher force. And that higher force is within my heart. After all, where does my intelligence come from? Where does my intuition come from? We have a sense that there's a guardian looking over us that's infusing us with knowledge and guiding us and so many things. So when she read about the Lord in the heart and it was presented in such a definitive way, she was stunned. She was inspired. In fact, her life was completely changed. She realized that there is a Lord in the heart. And personal presence of God, imagine that. The body itself is a tabernacle. Tabernacle means a temple. We're walking around, actually. This body is a walking temple. And she realized that from reading the Bhagavatam. And as she read it more and more, she became educated in the science of Atmatattva Jnana, God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and in miraculous ways, Krishna began to appear in her life and guide her forward on the path. And then she had her spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, who is the author of the book. She accepted initiation. She lived her entire life in Krishna consciousness, raised her children in Krishna consciousness. She's actually a member of our congregation. We can meet her one time and she comes here. She'll probably be tomorrow. And there are thousands and thousands of stories like this everywhere. When people come in contact with the literature and they read a little bit, they're alerted to the fact that it's not ordinary. How are they alerted? Within the heart. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, patient sympathy, bhajitam kintam purvatam. I'm there within everyone's heart. And if a person has even a necessity to be worth of sincerity, their interest is fixed, even just by a tiny sesame seed to inquire, who is right? Who am I? Then Krishna responds, because he's only waiting to respond to that inquiry on my part, to ask that question. And the book is an emissary in the spiritual world that enters this world to meet that demand of the soul to know, who am I? Why am I here? Why am I suffering? How can I find my heart's desire? I've been thwarted at every corner and every path of gain has led to disappointment in this world. How can I actually find true satisfaction? And when someone asks that question, Krishna appears in the form of this liturgy to answer the soul's call for clarity, for happiness, for eternal peace. And that's what the Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of God on this earth planet in the form of paper and ink, but its transcendence manifests in that form. And the devotees who are taking out these steps of Srimad Bhagavatam door to door, I mean, who does a thing like that? I mean, people stopped selling encyclopedias years ago. I don't think there are any anymore because of the internet. And sometimes people say, well, all this reads on the internet. But it's not exactly the same. When you have the book, there's visible size, made color, there's the pictures, there's an aesthetic quality to the deity in the book that transforms the family. You sit down and you read it with your family, with your children. There's a sanskar, a memory, an impression that will come into their mental system that will never go away. So we're advocating this as a panacea for the suffering humanity, and it's not our message, it's the message of the Bhagavatam. Anarto pasanam sakshat bhakti yoga na hozake. Lokasya jinnabhokitam sakshat sakshatasamimam. The Bhagavatam itself says that the great sage Suryasadeva, knowing that people would be frustrated in this age of Kali Yuga, that they would suffer and they wouldn't know how to get out of it, took the trouble to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he realized it after meeting with his spiritual master in frustration himself. And his spiritual master already gave him this directive that you have to meditate deeply on the pastimes of Krishna. You have to present them in such a way that they will touch the hearts of people everywhere. And he did that. He went into deep meditation in the samadhi. And he realized it for himself. And when he came out of that samadhi, he spoke about, he compiled the Bhagavatam, he put it together. Sometimes called samadhi bhashya. The language one speaks after seeing God face to face. That's what's in the Bhagavatam. Not an ordinary book. Not the New York Times. It's not Harry Potter. It's something completely different. Narada Muni says, I love the stars and the top of the globe of sin, but he showed them about the other two. The money and I'm asking you so many times, the shame of the guy and the people not be sorry. That this book is meant to create a revolution in the heart. It's just like contacting it. It changes our direction from frustration to exhilaration in every step on the way back home, back to Godhead. That's the power of this book. So we're very serious about this here. We are dedicating our lives to distributing this book because we know that our spiritual master came to this country and many other countries with a very specific desire to see that people who take this book and hear about his heart spoken so eloquently. And so simply when he said, he slept only 2 hours a night. Why? To write these books. That's what he was doing, is his time. The pattern is also, you can have the association of a pure devotee who brought the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam to America and all over the world, who also included the commentaries of the great teachers, who cast out their realizations of the millennium, and that's all available in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I wanted to emphasize that Dear Raja Maharaj spoke in the beginning of his talk, also the middle and the end, and that is that take the Srimad Bhagavatam, please. It's only $220 for the full set of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's nothing. Money is just a token anyway. It's not very useful in this world. It comes and goes. You can't keep it anyhow. But if you invest it in a Srimad Bhagavatam, and you put the book in your house, and you take some time to look at it, just go through it, you'll find a miraculous transformation from touching that book, from accepting the book. That's our plea on this generosity night. Please contact the devotees who have been outside of the book table all night. We have, when we constructed this temple, we can see that the heart of this temple would actually be our book room, which is parallel with our mission. We have a gigantic book room, which is right in the center of this temple. And it's full to the rafters. We have shipments coming in all the time, truckloads of books coming in this temple and then going back out again. And empty boxes. What does it do with all the empty boxes? The books are out there. So we ask you to take this Bhagavatam. And if you already have a Bhagavatam, take it out of the book and give it to a friend. Give it to someone who is celebrating a wedding or a birthday or is suffering the loss of a loved one. And you'll see the miraculous effect of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much for considering my request. It comes from the bottom of my heart. Hare Krishna. And we have a few minutes until midnight, and we're thrilled that you're all here with us tonight. I think that some of you may have come here for the first time. Anybody here for the first time? So glad you're here. We lived, maybe some of you have also visited our old place, which was in San Jose. I can't remember the address anymore because I think although there was some sweet memories there. It was a very small facility. We had no air conditioning. And we used to say that, you know, only the most sincere people would come and stick it out until midnight here, because sometimes it was very hot and very crowded and so forth. But this is Lord Krishna's mercy to provide this new facility. We thank you all for coming here. We have programs here during the week. Wednesday night, there's a Bhagavad Gita class. There's Saturday morning class starting at 7:30. Wednesday, it starts at 6 p.m. There's a Saturday afternoon presentation of a yoga presentation about the yoga and also teaches some of the basic principles of spiritual life. And Sunday, everyone's invited to come at 4 o'clock. We have this kind of festival, only on a little bit smaller scale, every Sunday. And we also have an online presentation with those little cameras around the group. This is technological production. We're broadcasting everything that goes on here, all the classes, all the kirtans, so you can watch it all by going to IslamSiliconValley.com, and you can tune in from home and watch the scenes. So up until midnight, we're going to have some more kirtan, and then we're going to meet Sri Sri Ramanan Mohan. At a certain midnight, they'll open the curtains and we'll have the midnight party. And we look forward to seeing you all again very soon. Please come back and visit us here at what we call IFC, which stands for Islam Silicon Valley, and also for Individual, Spontaneous, and Voluntary. And we want to make it an environment in which people feel encouraged to serve individually, spontaneously, and voluntarily. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.